Now, this is an interesting mix. A statistician who is involved in parapsychology. How did this happen?
Well, one of the great things about statistics and being a statistician, I'll just plug that, is that you can get involved in just about any area that you're interested in addition to statistics. And the way it happened for me was that I was at Stanford University for a year working, and I happened to meet the people who were doing the classified remote viewing work at SRI. They needed a statistician, and I was interested, so
there
was
you
a good
are.
Match.
Now,
yep.
Tell me about being a statistician. How did you get interested in that?
Let's see. Well, I was an undergraduate math and psychology major, and statistics seemed to be the one way that I could combine those two interests.
Okay, when I think of statistics, I think of baseball scores, hockey scores, and things like that. There's way more than that.
Oh, much more.
Tell me about the science behind statistics.
Okay, just about any study that you might read about in the newspaper, whether it has to do with the relationship between, let's say, aspirin and heart attacks, or meditation and blood pressure, or crime rates and keeping guns in the home, all those kinds of things have statisticians behind them. So anything that involves human nature, that involves different behavior on the parts of people, we try to quantify and look for relationships.
You know, just about everything nowadays, Jessica, needs, I think, strong statistics, not only to back up events that are unfolding, but it seems like people react to statistics. You know, we have polls. I mean, your popularity lives and dies on a poll. Marketing is based on statistics. Sales are based on statistics. Our lifespan is now based on statistics. It's everywhere.
That's true. One of the great things about statistics is that we can use it as a way to summarize the aggregate behavior or aggregate opinion or whatever. So rather than just anecdotes and talking to individuals, you can get a picture of get a big picture of what's going on with a population.
Did the computer help your field a lot?
Tremendously, yeah. I don't think I'd be in this field if it weren't the computer weren't available, because it used to be a very tedious job to try to summarize all those numbers, and now it's just a push of a button.
What's happening in the future of statistics? I mean, what's the next evolution?
That's a good question. I think probably what has happened is that statisticians have branched out into a lot more areas of applications. So, for example, a lot of statisticians now are working in genetics, bioinformatics, things that probably we couldn't have done before, because these involve massive amounts of data.
I mean, statisticians, I mean, do they sit back, let's say, with astronomers and try to theorize how many Earth-like planets there might be in the universe, how many intelligent planets might be out there? Do they do things like that, too?
I haven't heard of anybody doing the last thing that you said, but there are certainly statisticians who are working with astronomers in various ways, yeah. And I'm not an expert in that, so I don't know exactly what they do, but I do know that that's a subfield of statistics.
Now, in your particular case, when you got involved in a paranormal study on statistics, tell me specifically now about your duty, your role with the remote viewing research program at SRI.
Okay. When I joined the program, they were really ramping up the research part of it. Probably a lot of your listeners have heard about the so-called psychic spying that
yes,
was going on.
Yes, absolutely.
But probably relatively few have heard that there was actually an active research program going on at the same time. And the point of the research program was to look at things like, does precognition work? When you're doing remote viewing, do you have to have a sender? Those kinds of issues. And so all of those are really statistical questions. So I joined the program, and I helped them design and analyze experiments to test those kinds of questions.
All right, give me an example of an experiment and what you do in terms of being a statistician attached to it.
Okay, so you want to hear what a simple remote viewing experiment
Absolutely,
would be like?
Absolutely, sure.
Okay, sure. People could even try this at home if they would like.
And yes, by the way, I always warn them, don't try this at home.
<That's
you know?
laughs> Well, it's very difficult to do it right, and I'll tell you why, okay? Let me start before I explain the experiment by telling you two things that a good experiment has to have statistically. One is that you need to know what should happen just by chance. So, for example, with anecdotes or remote viewing that's just done for applications, we can't really assess what should happen just by chance. So that's one of the major differences between laboratory work and the applied remote viewing. And the second thing is that you have to be able to close off all possible normal means of getting the answer. And that's really not easy. That's the hard part. Okay? So if they're going to try it at home, that's the tricky part. So let me explain how you would do a remote viewing experiment.
All right, yeah.
Simple one. Okay. So So we would start by picking four potential targets, I'll call them, and they could be four objects, four photographs, so on, okay? But they'd all four are the same kind of thing, all four objects or all four photographs. You wouldn't want to mix that. And then you would use a randomization device to pick one of them to be the actual target. And you'll see why in a minute we need four.
All right.
Okay? That's when we get into the statistics. Okay, so you have your four objects, and of course the person who's supposed to be doing the remote viewing shouldn't know what they are, and of course shouldn't know what the right answer is. So you take the person who's going to do the remote viewing, and you simply tell them that there is a target that needs to be described, and ask them to describe it. And so they, generally what's done is you give them paper and pencil, and they write out what they think it might be.
Mm-hmm. Or sketch it, I guess.
Sketch it, yep. Sketches are good. In fact, those are probably better than words. Is what we've discovered. And then when they're done, you take their sketches and words, and you give those to a judge and who doesn't know what the right answer is, and you give them the four objects. And the judge's job is to try to figure out which one of the four objects matches best what the person has drawn or written. Now, by chance, we can say that there's a 1 in 4 probability of them getting it right. Is that clear?
I'm with you so far.
Okay, good. And by the way, the randomness part comes in selecting the correct answer, the one of the four that's going to be the target. Okay, that's where the probability part comes in, because we can't count on human beings to draw things what we might call randomly. Human beings have certain favorite things to draw.
Sure.
Okay. So we have to choose this target randomly. We can't just let another human being choose it. That's where the randomness has to come in. Okay, so basically we do this, and we do it multiple times, and we see whether or not the judge was able to pick out the right object more than 1 out of 4 times.
The judge?
Right. So
sometimes
we actually show the remote viewer the four objects when they're done and say, which one of these four do you think you were trying to describe?
All right, so why four then?
Four is just a nice number to work with, because there aren't too many, so that if you get too many things, it's really hard for a judge to match what was drawn with one of the objects.
Okay, but are you dealing with, you know, like 25% chance?
Exactly.
Okay.
So exactly, yes. So the probability of getting it right by chance, if you have four, is 25%, right?
All right. So and if they get it right, let's say, 50%. Would you say with 50%, 2 out of 4 times, constantly, that's remote viewing, that it was successful, or do you think it's got to be higher?
Well, it depends on how many. If it's only 2 out of 4, in other words, you only do 4 tries, and you get it right twice.
Right.
I wouldn't be convinced of anything.
What if you do it 40 times?
Okay.
You get it right 20 times.
If you do it 40 times, then you're getting closer. And so in statistics, we can actually compute what's called a p-value, for probability value. And that really tells us what, I guess, in sort of layperson's language, you would call the odds against chance.